Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning and hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. This morning, I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to a special series of lessons that we are going to have this week beginning today at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Our speaker will be Brother Raymond Castillo. Brother Castillo has been preaching the gospel for many, many years, and he's an excellent Bible student, a good speaker, and you will profit by his lessons. We encourage you to come and be with us each day this week as we open up the pages of God's Word. We will have our regular meeting times on Sunday at 9:30 for Bible study. He will be speaking at 10:20 service, our morning worship, and again at 6:30 in our evening worship, and then each night, Monday through Friday, at 7 p.m. We want nothing from you. We don't want your money. We don't want to make any pressure on you. We just want you to come with an open mind, an open Bible, and study God's Word with us. This will be an excellent opportunity for you to feast upon the Word of God. Brother Castillo will examine any questions you might have. If you need some clarifications about the things that you hear, you'll be more than happy to do that. We encourage you to come and be with us this week. At every opportunity that you have, you will always be warmly received. Remember, that's each night this week, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m., and we invite you to any or all of our services this week. We're going to conclude today our study of the fruit of the Spirit and the last fruit we are examining, self-control. We left off last week looking at the need to get our minds under control. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. What is a sound mind? Sound mind is translated as discipline in the New American Standard Version and good judgment and self-control in the English Standard Version. God makes us wise. Knowledge of God tells us what is right. And because we develop self-control, good judgment, and proper discipline in our lives, then we lead a productive life. It is only natural for one who doesn't have God's word in his life to behave foolishly, to be drunk with bad choices, and to be inflamed with sin. Solomon spoke of how a harlot reduces a man to a crust of bread in Proverbs 6:26. It is his unwise and undisciplined ways, his lack of self-control that enables him to lose all that he has when he chooses to give up his dignity. From passages like this in Galatians 6:8 and 1 Corinthians 9:27 that we've already examined, we see a very real point. The body is a great servant, but it's a terrible master. We must master it. To our own ultimate harvest will be one to misery and not life. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:16 and 17. This is all there is in the world that men strive after. This is what the community of people often seek for and run to. Often it is what motivates the ambitions of individuals, but it is not of the Father. We cannot allow the world to be the basis of what we should or should not do. The lust of the flesh. The snow snares are grouped into three major categories. Inlets for corruption. The first, perhaps, is the lowest form of worldly indulgence, the animal lust of the flesh or body. Fleshly lust, war against the soul. This encompasses sensual sin, such as those mentioned and included in the works of the flesh listed in Galatians 5:19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and such like things. God's people must control these passions. These desires have a lawful outlet. That outlet is in marriage. But when one goes outside of marriage, he commits sin. Because we do have sexual desire, but we must control it in the arena that God gave it to be satisfied, and that is in a lawful marriage relationship. Then we have the second, the lust of the eyes. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Proverbs 27:20. More than likely, this refers to the eyes seeking satisfaction from riches or absorbed with alcohol, drugs, immorality, etc. some of the things mentioned in Galatians 5, 20 and 21 would fit under this rule. And so we need to be careful what we look at. It could cause us to lust. It could cause us to put our affections on things that are contrary to God's will and lead us in a direction that will take us away from God instead of towards God. The last is the pride of life. The arrogant man will naturally be filled with hatred for others. He can easily be contentious. He may be so ambitious to receive men's praise and applause that he generates dissension and hopes that they will bring him a following. Women easily fall prey to this, often dressing in ways that bring attention to their own bodies, such as motivated to a large degree by self-pride. There may be a combination of these in one act of sin. When Eve ate the forbidden fruit, all three were present. When someone murders another person, one or more of these things may be evident. Pride goes before destruction. That's what the scripture says. And last, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. This is an interesting expression. We see the world passes and the lust do too. The reference here does not seem to be so much as to the material world as to the scenes of show and vanity which make up the world. These things are passing away like the shifting scenes on the stage. All there is here so much is the object of desire. These things are like a pageant which only amuses the eye for a moment and then it disappears forever. Have you ever considered how much of your life is like a set of characters in a scene on a world theater or history? One set of actors reside for a time, passes away to the next scene of actors and circumstances. Think of all the different sitcoms that have come and gone. In a way, they model the existence of generations. They pass away quickly. Think about the year of history in which we are living. But the lust of the world also passes away, and we can readily appreciate that. Your child enjoys playing with a toy truck, but when he reaches a certain age, he wants to buy it. But all of a sudden, that truck doesn't mean so much to him. His love is drawn to the shiny new bike. Now he wants his bike. But when he's old enough, the new scene begins. He wants a car. He wants a motorcycle to drive around. And the pedal bike doesn't seem too appealing. You see, his lust for it has faded. He has put his lust in toward something else. In Psalms 39, verse 6 and 7, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now the Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. This psalm presents a difficult set of circumstances. Man will busy himself in something, and if the vain desire is to be heaped up riches because he lacks self-control to learn contentment, the result will be a vain reward, and it will destroy everything good in his life. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age, according and looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2, 11 through 13. Have you ever considered that one reason why God gives us grace to train people to have self-control? Remember, God gives us a sound mind, and such is realized through attaining the knowledge of God. God's grace teaches us that man must bring their attitudes and desires under the control of God and not under the control of self. In Hosea 4 and verse 1 and 2, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. You see, this is a cause and effect. Because a person in a community or a culture has no knowledge of God, there is no restraint. If you sow wickedness, you'll reap wickedness. When you leave God out of the equation, the result is a downward slide with no break towards utter destruction. You don't believe it? Read the last verses of Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 25 to the end of the chapter. When you take God out of the equation, it's certain destruction. It's inevitable. Because there's no restraint, there's no self-control. In Hosea 10, verse 13, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of the lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. What fruit did you have in these things in which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things are death. These people sowed what they reaped. They ate the fruit of lies because they trusted in themselves. They reaped iniquity because they sowed wickedness. They sowed wickedness because they had no knowledge of God. And a man sows what he reaps. That's what the good book says in Galatians 6, verse 8. It is a complete package that displays us as the legitimate sons of God. You see, we need to understand that self-control helps us in all the other fruits that we have studied about. It is a complete package that displays us as the legitimate children of God. God created us to be people elevated in love, in joy, in courage, and people who are powerfully good and compassionate. People who are self-governing, sensible, dependable, and practice restraint in their life to live godly and pure lives. If you want to master control over self, as well as succeed in the other traits of the fruit of the Spirit, then you need to be led by the Spirit, by God's Word, and begin by getting into Christ. If you are not in Christ, the Spirit will lead you no further than the place where God's grace meets with man's faith. The Spirit never leads one to error. The Spirit will lead you to obey Christ in baptism for the remission of sin. One cannot successfully display the fruit of the Spirit while carrying about a history of sin. Why not have your sin washed away in Christ today? As the Apostle Paul was told when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, and why are you tarrying and waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. Ladies and gentlemen, we have spent the last few weeks looking at the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. These are attributes that we are to add to our life. They are not recommended. They are not optional. They are commanded. We must add these fruits of the Spirit to our life. Not some of them, not the majority of them, each and every one of them. Why? Because they make us spiritually minded. They draw us closer to God. They make us more influence and examples of goodness and righteousness to those who are lost and dying in sin in the world. You see, God wants His people to have a different character. If you take these passages and add them with the passages of 2 Peter chapter 1, you will see that these passages help us to understand that we need to have a different character in order to bring people in a closer contact with what being a Christian is all about. God is counting on us to add these fruits of the Spirit to our lives in order that we might be effective ministers and examples and influence to those that we come in contact with. What about it, dear listener? Are you practicing and are you adapting and are you maturing and are you adding these fruits of the Spirit to your life? Or are you trying to go through the world, act like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, and conduct yourself as the world and think that you can lead people to Christ? You can't do it. You have to be different. You have to have a different focus. You have to have a different mindset. And unless you have that mindset, you cannot help lead others to Christ. We encourage you to try to look into God's Word and take His Word into your heart. Allow it to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, to lead you in the paths of righteousness that will allow you to adopt these fruits of the Spirit in your life to bring you in closer union with God. It is only by such a character of the fruits of the Spirit that can influence us to live for God and cause other people to live for God. God wants us to exemplify His character in all that we say, in all that we do. If we don't do that, then we can't help people find the cross. Dear listener, are you adapting the fruits of the Spirit? Thank you for listening. We pray that you'll tune in again next Lord's Day. Have a wonderful day. And come and be with us this week.